Hi, thanks for coming to session 2168, Designing and Building User Interfaces for Windows. My name is Paul Gus Marino. I'm a PM on the User Interface Platform team at Microsoft that works on WinJS, XAML, and the technologies used to create the UIs of your apps. I've been at Microsoft for over a decade working on UI technologies and developer platform features, but been a computer geek my whole life, ever since I was a little kid, where I started programming in BASIC, Microsoft BASIC, on my Apple II. And I'm really excited to be here on behalf of the team and with my friend and colleague, Monita.
Hi, everyone. I'm Monita Ho Kushner. I'm a design lead in the Windows design team, where I work on the personality visual language of the Windows Core OS, apps, common controls, and the UX patterns. So I've been at Microsoft almost a decade, not quite. I've spent the last 4 years working closely with Paul on both Windows 8 and 8.1 on many of the features that we're going to be showing today. Prior to joining Windows, I was working on the UX design of Visual Studio, so the developer audience is definitely very near and dear to my heart.
So to give us a sense of who's here, how many folks in the audience are developers, people who write the codes? All right.
Yeah, the people wearing the free t-shirts and sandals, right?
I see, yeah. And how many people here are designers? Hey.
The people wearing all black and thick-rimmed glasses,
there
right?
There you go. Awesome.
So how many people here have built Windows 8 apps before? And how many are here checking it out for the first time? Okay, great. Well, our talk applies to everyone, because we're going to go over designing and building user interfaces for Windows.
And specifically today, we're going to talk about what we call the four P's, which are
personality, P,
patterns,
principles,
and platform. And we're going to kind of talk about how we think about these four P's and in the process of designing user interfaces for Windows, and how we think they apply as concepts for you in thinking about how you design your user interfaces for Windows and your apps for Windows. And if there's one message we get across today from the talk, it's that we'd like everyone to know the standards, know the kind of the principles of the system and the standard user interface patterns and controls and platform features and so forth, but we want you to do what it takes to make your app great. You should see everything we talk about as a starting point, as a basis for making great apps, not as the confines and a limit to that. And you know, as a wise man once said, we would like you to learn the rules so you know how to break them properly. And so let's start talking about what we mean by designing a user interface for Windows. When we think about it, we think a user interface designed for Windows, what is it? Well, the first thing people think about is it's something that has a visual and interactive design personality. The pixels on the screen, the shapes, the colors, the animations that you see, the look and feel. This is the first thing people think about when they think about a user interface for Windows. It's an important part of it. But it's not enough. If you took some other UI, some other experience you'd created, and you just kind of re-skimmed it to sort of look like a Windows user interface, that really wouldn't be what we call a user interface for Windows. There's more to it. It goes deeper because it's also about exhibiting common user interface patterns. And we chose that word pattern specifically because what we mean by it is all of us as human beings observe patterns. It's the thing that helps us understand how the world works around us and how to function in that world. In the real world, in the physical world, you might think of something like a door. And we all know kind of how doorknobs work, and it lets us get around, that we can use and function, you know, with doors. And in the authentically digital computer world that we're creating of software with our apps, it means things like, where do I find commands? How do I select things? How do I do it with touch? How do I do it with mouse? How do I do it with keyboard? What are the keyboard shortcuts for things? What are the touch gestures for things? And Windows apps designed for Windows, exhibit these common patterns in addition to this visual and interactive design personality that you might first think about. But it goes even deeper than that. Even if you took the visual interactive design personality and you took the patterns and you kind of threw them together and made an app, it wouldn't really quite be an app designed for Windows, because Windows apps are grounded in a set of design principles. And these principles govern how you put the patterns together, how you apply them, how you combine them. There's lots of inherent flexibility in the patterns and in the personality. And those principles kind of are a guiding kind of light in how you do that. And beyond that, the principles that we're going to talk about help you define new patterns and new types of UIs, because we're really just getting started. All of us together are defining what the UI of Windows apps is like. All of us, the people working on Windows, the people making apps for Windows, are defining that and developing new patterns. And these principles, we think, help us do so in a coherent way for our shared customers. And then finally, even if you had the personality and the patterns and use these principles, really design a user interface for Windows, it has to be built on the Windows platform. And you have to understand that, because there's so much subtlety and nuance about how an app works and looks and feels, from the way text is rendered, the way touch interactions are handled, the way suggestions are given when you input text, that to really have that Windows look and feel and be a Windows UI, it needs to be on that Windows platform. In fact, people sometimes ask us, they say, hey, can we build a Windows UI, you know, for some older versions of Windows or for some other platforms? And we don't think so. You know, we tried, and we actually made Windows 8.1 because we wanted to do more stuff with the look and feel of apps and the personality and the principles and the patterns and so forth that we couldn't do before. We had to update the platform to do those kinds of things. And so we think a big part of it is also building on the platform in the right way. And so kind of with this basis of this personality, patterns, principles, and platform, how are we moving stuff forward in Windows 8.1? That's the bulk of what we want to talk about today. And it's in the following ways we're going to share this with you. Manita's going to tell you about how we're making the personality more visually rich and compelling, and how we're moving forward on that personality front. I'm going to talk a bit about the more scalable, flexible, and complete set of patterns that we're enabling in the system and supporting. Manita's going to remind us of the principles, which actually are unchanged, but we're kind of grounded in those. And I'm going to comment a bit, wrapping up on how the platform supports this. Without further ado, let's take it away.
All right. Thanks, Paul. So the first P is for personality. For Windows 8.1, our platform supports a much richer visual language. The design team looked at how we wanted to evolve our personality among these four key elements. We then worked closely with the engineering team to make sure that design flexibility was built into the platform so we could really push the visual language forward in Windows 8.1. I'm going to walk through each of these four elements of our personality. The first one is composition. Composition describes how UI elements, including content, type, controls, and negative space — yes, negative space can be considered an element — are laid out in relation to one another. There's a misconception out there that the Microsoft visual language consists of nothing but uniform colored tiles and a grid. And in some cases, Windows UI does consist of tiles and a grid, but we want to show you with Windows 8.1 that it's a much richer visual language than that. We really want to see apps push the composition for this release. So here's some inspiration. We're inspired by masterpieces of modern print and graphic design. These posters all feel clean, beautiful, structured, and organized. There's a hierarchy where the most important information jumps to the front, and there's a good balance of content and negative space. These feel all very modern. In Windows, we use an underlying 20-pixel grid to help us lay out our experiences. So here's two experiences from Windows 8.1, the start screen and the store landing page. When we overlay the grid, we see that there's alignment between certain elements. For example, the titles are in the same location, and we have the same left margin. This is so that when users move between apps, they get a consistent experience. But the grid doesn't have to be the first thing you see. When you design an app, think about, what is my app great at? Here's an example of a soccer app, and the soccer app should be great at soccer. The content is laid out in what we call a hub pattern, where there's different groups of content, and so there might be a news article about the latest game, or there might be some rich media in another group. Also, we played with the composition, so you see that the soccer player and the soccer ball are actually like breaking out of the grid and jumping out to the forefront to really provide emphasis. And then finally, we have some delightful background imagery. So you can see that this is a very delightful soccer app. But then when you overlay the grid, you see that it's there to provide structure. It just doesn't have to be the first thing you see. So now I'm going to go switch to demo a couple of experiences in Windows 8.1 which really played with composition. The first one is the Windows Store. And some of you might have already seen this, but we really dialed up the personality for the Windows Store in this release. So the Windows Store also uses a hub in their landing page, so it consists of groups of different types of content. So you see that there's a store spotlight, and then as we pan, there's a Picks for You section, which uses a different type of app tile. And then if we pan further down, like to the end, we have smaller app tiles for the top three apps. Also, if you look at the spotlight, there's some delight here because we're using an animated flip view control, and then cleverly we use the app tile layered on top of a screenshot. So again, playing around with the composition. And then finally, we've got these delightful background images of diagonals throughout the app, and you'll see that one diagonal graphic is actually layered behind another. So you get these interesting shapes as you pan, and then what we call the flourishes, these are these green section header graphics at the head of each section to indicate that you're looking at a different type of content. The next very cool composition that I'm going to show you is with our new search results. So I'm going to do a search here for San Francisco. I get this beautiful Search Hero experience. Again, it's comprised of different types of content. So on the far left, I guess hopefully you guys can hear me better now. So on the far left, we've searched this machine and we bring back the local results. Because San Francisco, you know, there's a lot of great content about that out on the web, then we utilize Bing Search and it brings back this beautiful hero content where we have the image of the Golden Gate Bridge. It goes, bleeds to the edge, full screen, bleeds to the edge, and then further down we see more web search results. But you see we're also taking color in these different kind of panels to the edge and also layering San Francisco on top of the groups and the image there. So again, really pushing composition. Like, this is a far cry from a uniform grid of tiles. Like, there's just so much variety that we can see in our experiences. All right. So moving on, the next element that I'm going to talk about is typography. Typography plays a really important part of the Windows visual language. In many cases, the app content consists solely of text, so it's important for typography to be well designed. We're inspired by beautiful graphical use of type. Type can be beautiful. In Windows, we use a type ramp and ensure that the sizes of the type ramp are properly aligned to the grid. We give you this exact type ramp in our default style sheets, which you can use outright, or you can use it as a base to develop your own type ramp for your application. Now here's a really great example of what good type design can do to improve your UI. Here's an early version of a seemingly dry UI, the dialogue for managing your SkyDrive subscription. Everything is treated about the same at a glance, so it's hard to discern what's the most important piece of information here. And here's the redesign. So a thoughtful redesign of type really improved this dialogue. By enlarging the most important piece of information, the dialogue is easy to read and more aesthetically pleasing. You'll also notice it's not as cramped with stuff as the previous dialogue. So it's okay to use negative space. It actually makes the most important information come to the forefront more, making for a better user experience. And now back to the demos. I'm going to show you an app which really successfully takes advantage of typography for their personality. So the Alarms app. The most important thing about this app is the time. So it plays it's got a lot of visual prominence in the app. So you see we've used really enlarged type in the timer to show the time. And then in the alarms, we put the the time, like in the middle, surrounded by the circular rings of color. So again, time and the type becomes a focal point. Okay, switch back. Color is our third element. So window's color is rich, saturated, and vibrant. We believe in mostly flat applications of color. However, as these examples show, that doesn't mean that color can't feel dynamic. We use techniques such as transparency, layering, and blending to create motion and depth. All right, and back to the demo. So here's a Windows 8.1 app that uses that has an excellent use of color. So Reading List is this really cool new app where you can pin or you can save articles to read later. They're grouped by date. So we use color to indicate how stale or fresh the content is. So you see there's the first group, which are articles that I've pinned yesterday, and it uses one shade of magenta. But as I pan back in time, the group headers go darker. And so we get to see color have an informational value, but then color also adds visual delight. So it makes this app actually feel very visually appealing as well. Okay, and finally, motion. Motion brings everything to life and helps our system feel fast and fluid. In Windows, we've built animation to our platform, into our platform and into our controls. I need to play the movie here. Thanks, Paul. Okay, so here's an example of a list view. And so in the list view, we've got things such as entrance, leave, add, delete, remove animations built in. And then on the right, there's some drag and drop animations, which Paul will actually demo the live code of the drag and drop animations when he starts talking about UX patterns. Oh, do we have time to see that? Did it play?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Oh, and then my demo. So actually, I'm going to demo two apps here. I'm going to demo calculator and then alarms again. So calculator, we've got three different views of our calculator. We've got the standard, scientific, and converter. And so in addition to like highlighting which tab and then the change of the UI, there's also these delightful entrance animations built in, which I think are really nice. It's just kind of these subtle touches that really dial up like the premium feel of your app, these great like transition animations. And of course, motion is an important delighter as well. So one of my favorite things about the alarms app is turning on and off the alarms. So I turn off the alarms and I turn them back on, then ooh, those beautiful radial dial animations are just really sweet. It's really a delighter. I could be just doing this for a really long time. All right, back to the slide deck. Okay, so to recap, these are the four elements of our personality, and I just discussed how we're evolving them in Windows 8.1. Of course, we can't push our visual language forward unless we have patterns and a platform that supports it. So Paul will now talk about those patterns that enable the next generation of Windows Store apps. Here
you go. Thanks. Can you guys hear me from my mic? Yeah. So yes, the second P is for patterns after personality. And let's talk about that. If you've been following what we've done with Windows 8, if you've come and heard our talks in the past when we did the first build with Windows 8, we've talked about patterns in several areas of our UI for apps, around navigation, around how users get around their apps, around commanding, how they perform actions in apps, things like the app bar pattern, around scrolling content, and that's been a very important area about all the touch gestures and the experience around how you move and scroll around content. Around presenting data, lists and grids and semantically zooming and all those sorts of patterns. We've talked about text editing and how users can be productive and the full experience in Windows of how you do that. And about all the essential controls, the progress bars and sliders and buttons and so forth. And we've also told you, we've shown you slides like this that have our smorgasbord of controls and patterns that we support. And I want to start by saying in Windows 8.1, this all continues to be true. All the things that we started in Windows 8 continue to be great patterns for you to start to build with and use. Everything from semantic zoom to flip view to buttons to tooltips to toggle switches to you name it. But there's some areas in which the patterns have evolved in Windows 8.1, kind of in keeping with some of those ideas and about the personality and how the personality is evolving to be richer. And the patterns are evolving to be more flexible, to give you more opportunities as developers to differentiate your app, to make better UIs for your user. And they're evolving kind of in these four areas, and that's what I'd like to focus on and let you know about. And in navigation will be the first one, and I want to focus on three kind of evolutions that are happening there in the few months since Windows 8, now that we're doing the Windows 8.1 preview. The first, let's see here, hold on. I want to talk about the hub. So a pattern called the hub, that's kind of a really big one that you'll have seen, talked about already in several talks, but I want to kind of dig into the design of that some more around the navigation bar and in-app search. And I think the best way to do that is with some demos. And so let's take a look at some demos. So the hub, Monita referenced that here with the store, and I want to give some context on the hub. One of the things we saw in Windows 8 tons of people using was the grid pattern. People really love the grid pattern. And they love showing these groups of tiles and panning around in them. But at the same time, we were seeing people wanting to kind of push the limits of that. They were trying to do fancier and fancier things and embed richer and richer things inside those grid tiles. And we were talking to Manita and her team about the desires to expand the composition, the capabilities people had, to let people break the grid. And out of that work and thinking, we came up with what we call the hub pattern, which is a standard kind of pattern that we encourage in Windows 8.1 and have support for in the platform. And so let me kind of elaborate on it some more. In essence, it gives you a set of groups of arbitrary content. So it has the grouping aspect that you're maybe familiar with the grouped grid in Windows 8. But you can put arbitrary content in each group, not just tiles. And I think a good example of that is if you go and you look at some specific app on the store, for example, you'll see that they have a section at the beginning where they're showing you some information about the app, some kind of critical information. They have a section where they let you see some screenshots. Then there's a ratings and review section. Then there's details. Then there's released related apps, and there's other apps by the same app maker. And you can see the layout of each of these sections is really arbitrary content. It's arbitrary HTML or arbitrary XAML content. You're not restricted to being kind of a tile layout. And that kind of enables some really cool UIs, we think. But you still have a certain continuity of the way the grouping works with that hub pattern. And so, for example, as a user, if you're a keyboard user, you'll know how to kind of tab to the section headers, and you can arrow key around them, for example. And that's part of the hub pattern, is a kind of consistent way to navigate around these groups. By the way, that uses a lot of motion. Hopefully that delights you, Manita.
Yes.
another kind of aspect of, so that's one aspect of the hub pattern, is kind of a consistent kind of way of navigating around between those groups, whether using touch or mouse or keyboard. Another aspect of it is, with the hub pattern, we found that a lot of times people want to show a snippet of some content, but then have a way to get to more of the content. Okay, and so the hub pattern has a standard model for that, which is that some of the headers are interactive and some are not. So here you see this details group. All the details to be known are here. There are no more details. And so there's nothing interactive about this header. I can click on it and nothing happens. But in the ratings and reviews section, for example, there's quite a bit more ratings and reviews. They're only showing you some of that information. And so the header's interactive. You can see a little chevron on it. And you can go in and see then all the all the ratings and reviews. And similarly with some of the other sections, the other apps by the same company, surprisingly Microsoft there in this example. You can see the other apps they have. So The hub pattern is about letting you show arbitrary content and have that rich kind of composition that you want to have, but still have a coherent kind of model for the users to navigate and work with that content. Now I want to show you an SDK sample we have around the hub to show you kind of a few more aspects of that as well. So here, this is just kind of, you know, very simplistic kind of little SDK sample. But you know, if you're a touch user, in addition to kind of wanting to have the headers kind of as a way to navigate around, a popular thing a lot of people like is semantic zoom. That's the thing where you can pinch and zoom out and then zoom into another section. And we think that works great with the hub pattern, and we encourage people to go ahead and do that. So I can zoom out in this little sample and then zoom in where it says form controls, or I can zoom out and zoom in where it says images. And it's very easy to kind of navigate around using the semantic zoom in concert with the hub. Another app that shows that is the news app. So if I go to the news app, I can see that same thing. And I can zoom out and then zoom into another section like entertainment. There you go. The other aspect I wanted to show you in that SDK sample is one of the things you may have seen more of in Windows 8.1 is more apps wanting to have a vertical orientation for the way they pan and scroll. And that's something that we also think is great to do with the hub pattern. Sometimes you may have a small window size, for example, with the new multitasking features. And so you can use the hub pattern in that context as well. So the hub pattern is really one of the, you know, very significant new patterns of Windows 8.1. It really enables a lot of the kinds of personality things that Monita was talking about to move forward. So the second pattern I want to tell you about that's new for Windows 8.1 is the navigation bar pattern. And this pattern here came out of the fact that users need a quick way, and a consistent way to get around different pages in an app. So a simple example I'm going to do is just turn the calendar app. People want to go from the month view to the day view to the calendar view and so forth. And we were seeing people do lots of different ways of, you know, approaching that. And we saw a lot of people liking the app bar as kind of an idea of that. And we said, well, what if we had a more consistent kind of pattern around that? And you may have seen some of the apps in Windows 8, the news, weather, sports, finance apps, start to kind of support this pattern. And Windows 8.1, you'll see this more and more and more across more of the apps. And it's something you should consider taking advantage of. And let's take a look at it. You just swipe in your app bar from the top. And then you have links there that bring you to the different sections. So you can go to the day. I'm going to cough now. I beg your pardon.
Old wives' tale.
Old wives' tale. All right. But anyway, it's very simple and consistent to jump around different sections. Let's look at that in another app like the store. Here, they have a more elaborate nav bar, so it's a very flexible pattern. It's not just, you know, three buttons. So here you can jump to your apps, your account, the home, but they've also put a section with quick links that dive into, you know, specific sections like the game section or the entertainment section or the social section. So it's a kind of a great pattern for navigating around your app. We think it's a model that scales pretty well, so I made my app bar smaller, and you'll see that we paginated the links. And so you can still kind of flip between them with touch to get between them, that nice smooth animation and motion. You can use the mouse, of course, to do so, or the mouse wheel. It works great with a mouse wheel. Or the keyboard, and as you arrow through, kind of get that great experience. But it still enables you to have the kind of composition and layout and nice kind of UI design without getting in the way, but gives you a consistent way for your users to navigate around. And we think that's a great pattern for you to start taking advantage of that we're kind of really supporting in the platform. And then the last one I want to talk about is, I'll just jump to the demo right away, is in-app search. And that's another pattern around navigation that's really changed in Windows 8.1 versus Windows 8. And in Windows 8, you might remember there's not much or any searching inside apps. You'd always go through the search contract. And in Windows 8.1, we've actually evolved that, and there's a whole talk about that in the same room right after this. So I won't go into tremendous detail on it, but I just want to highlight that as a pattern and show you a couple instances of it. One instance is an app like News. You can place a search box in line and have an inline auto suggestion kind of experience. So I can start typing San Francisco, and I'll see suggested links and searches that kind of make sense in the context of that news app. And you can see they might have images or not images. It's a very rich kind of suggestion experience. Another instance of that pattern is what you see in the reading list, where when you go to the search box, as you start typing, it'll just instantly update the view below. And that's another great kind of usage of the in-app search pattern. And those are both great ways to take advantage of that pattern in your apps for Windows 8.1. As I'll talk about later, it's kind of fully supported across XAML and WinJS apps. All right, so that wraps up kind of navigation patterns. And we talked about the hub, we talked about the navigation bar, and we talked about in-app search. The next area of patterns I want to tell you about is commanding. And there's been some evolution on the commanding front with the patterns as well. We've seen a lot of people, you know, using the app bar. It's probably, you know, probably the most used control we see across apps and most used pattern. And there have been some updates on that front around how it scales, around how kind of people put richer content in it with menu flyouts and menus and even richer stuff. And there's been some evolution kind of with on-item commanding, and I want to address all of those. And I'm going to do so again with demos because that's the most fun way to do stuff. And so for app bar, first I'm just going to pop up the mail app to show you how some people have the conception that the app bar pattern is sort of limited to just have some buttons and that's it. But actually there's a lot of support in the pattern, a lot of richness and flexibility for you to do pretty rich kind of commanding with it. So here in this, in the mail app, if I pop up the app bar, you can see that I can very easily keyboard around and get to commands. Commands can have menus off of them, and I can quickly get to them. They can have flyouts off of them, and then quickly get to them. So there's a lot of richness in the kind of the amount of commanding you can do. You can really have, you know, productivity type of experience based on that app bar with the kind of support. If you think about that platform, that pattern in a really rich way, with the kinds of buttons and the kinds of menus and things you can have off it. But even beyond that, we're seeing people, and we encourage and support even richer uses of it. So I think the Sound Recorder app does a great job of that. You know, they know a key thing you're doing when you're, you know, listening to sound recording is having the slider to control where you kind of play it. And so that's built right into the app bar in this app. They have a trim command, and that puts this very fancy, you know, trimming control right there with the way to kind of approve or, you know, cancel out of that operation in line in the app bar. So we think there's some cool ways that you can use the app bar to do richer and richer and richer and more powerful and more efficient for your users commanding experiences, building on the app bar and the app bar buttons and the flyouts and menus and even putting custom controls inside there. And that's something that we support. And then a question that comes up is around scaling with all of this, and I want to show a couple examples of that. I'll go back to mail as one example. You know, the platform now supports built, you know, because you're going to have all these apps, you know, resizing and so forth, with the app bar pattern, what we suggest is take advantage of the ability to have things in menus and flyouts and so forth to design for the space you have available. So if you have less space because someone's made your app smaller, consider what's the right way for me to group commands together into menus and so forth. But at some point, if you can't do that anymore, we'll be smart and the pattern says, hey, we'll just drop the labels for people. Now you still get tool tips and kind of other things like that to kind of know about what the thing is that you're interacting with. And you still have all the same keyboarding and other capabilities, but it'll drop the labels for you. But you can still do more than that. So if you make it even narrower, this app here, for example, dropped even more commands off. So you can have flexibility in how you make the app bars a commanding pattern work for your app. Another app that shows that is SkyDrive. If I select a silly picture of me, you'll see if I make this a smaller window, also the labels drop. Okay, so there's some, you can see that across kind of many apps, that pattern. So that's kind of an update on commanding and how the then there's one more thing about commanding I want to show is the on-item commanding. And so one thing we've seen some people want to do is say, gosh, love the app bar, but it'd be great if there's just some way to put a little command like right on the item itself. And that's great. We're starting to see some people do that with their UIs. And we think the people who do that best are people who are integrating that with the standard selection model that exists in the list and grid patterns already. So I'll show that with something like the reading list. If you make this app, one state in which this app designer decided they'd like to let people use the app is in this very thin state. So you can click on links and get the whole rest of the screen to see the web page or wherever the link is pointing to. And in that case, they wanted to make it very easy for people to delete items. And so they said, well, what about when items are selected, whether you select them with touch or mouse or keyboard, what if we just show a little delete command right on the item on selection as part of the selected item template? And that's fine. That's a kind of appropriate usage of how you can do on-item commanding in apps. So that's something else to consider, too, for certain specific scenarios where that's really what you want. So that talks about the commanding patterns and how those have evolved. Oops. All right. So we talked about how some of the navigation patterns have evolved, the commanding patterns. I want to talk about how some of the presenting data patterns have evolved. The first one, I'm not going to even demo, but if you've been to the What's New in WinJS or What's New in XAML talks, which I presume a lot of people in this audience probably went to at least one of those two, you'll have seen that there's a lot of work that's been done on making the panning be really fast and buttery smooth. And that's actually something people are going to recognize about Windows 8.1 apps. And so you'll really want to pay attention to that when you're designing your app and have that in mind, because that's going to be part of the experience and part of the pattern, effectively, that people can expect is that kind of smoothness to the experience. But we're also seeing people do more with self-spanning, with kind of vertically oriented lists, and with drag and drop. And so I'd like to show you some of that and some of the improved support that exists for that in a couple of cases. And so the first one I'm going to show is Manita's pointed out the kind of the use of color and so forth in this app. They also are able to compose, because they do have kind of a list of content here. So it's appropriate to use a grid view and not a hub for this kind of case, because it kind of really is a data-driven kind of case. But they're using self-spanning to have that kind of richness where some items can be bigger and some are smaller, so they can fit different sized images and so forth in their content. So that's an example of a way to use a self-spanning layout, which I wanted to show you to contrast with kind of hub, where it's totally custom content that you're doing in those sections. An example, and then actually I'll do my demo this way. An example of the vertical panning you'll start to see is in apps like music. So this is an app that, because they have this design with a left pane, is taking advantage of the ability to have vertically scrolling grids. And so here you have a grid grid view pattern, and it's the same data presentation pattern of Windows 8. You can select items and keyboard around and have all the features you kind of expect there, but it's vertically oriented. And so sometimes people are doing vertically oriented data presentation patterns when they're having very narrow windows, like the reading list. Sometimes they're doing it just because their app design kind of calls for that. And that's some of the flexibility that we'd like you to take advantage of in the right ways in your apps. We're not telling you every app must be horizontal panning in all cases. That's not the pattern. And then on the drag and drop, I think I'm going to show you that in Mail to start with. So one of the things that we've done a lot of work to make sure we have a really great experience for is drag and drop in Windows 8.1, and I'd like to show that to you. So here I have the Mail app, and I have some Living Social deal that I want to put back into my inbox, and so I can just drag it out and go and kind of copy it into there. So very simple. I do that with touch, by the way, and that's kind of fully supported in the platform. And I want to point out a few things about that experience that really represent the pattern, in case you didn't get it. What's tricky about that is, gosh, I can also touch pan this list. So how does that work? How can I both drag something and pan it at the same time? And the reason is it builds on that same swipe gesture that you're familiar with in Windows 8. And so just so you can side swipe to kind of select something, if you side swipe and keep pulling off, you can drag and drop the item. And you'll also notice it sticks to the finger, because we've done a lot of work to make sure the composition and input and so forth around these kinds of operations take advantage of decomp and dmanip and features like that, so they don't block your UI threads, so you can have really responsive experiences with them. So you should consider drag and drop. Is that something that you should start adding to your feature to your app as you start making a more full-featured, richer app in Windows 8.1 timeframe? All right, so that's how the presenting data patterns are evolving around panning, around self-spanning and the use of that, and vertical panning and drag and drop. And then finally, I just wanted to wrap up with text editing patterns. Now, most people who have text editing in their apps are just using the standard text editing controls, and so you kind of will get what I'm going to show you for free. But sometimes people are doing fancy special things, and so you need to be kind of be aware of this. And hopefully you'll all actually kind of like this improvement there. I'm going to do this one here in my Mail. I'm going to continue editing this All right, here we go. Oops. Oh. So I want to show you two things. I want to show you how text selection has changed and how cursor placement has changed for Windows 8.1 because it's evolved and improved. So first, just simply tapping will move the cursor there as it has in the past. But now you can actually kind of very easily drag the cursor and even drag it between letters. So this is a commonly requested feature. You used to have to use the little arrow keys on the keyboard to do that. So now you can drag the cursor and place it exactly where you want if you want to put it right in the middle of that word and edit that word and make it the build misspelled conference. The second thing is selecting is just tapping a second time. So you can just tap a second time on a word to select it. So you can tap and then tap again. And once you have created a selection, you can, if you want to expand the selection now, if you start dragging the handle, it'll actually go word by word. Because typically that's what you want to select, a whole word. But if you don't want to do that, you can start dragging backwards, and then it'll switch into character by character mode. So it's really easy to do, with touch, a great text selection that is word by word, which is typically what you want to do, but you still have the power to do more precise text selection. So there's some real great improvements in the text selection experience and the patterns around text editing in Windows 8.1 as well. So that kind of, we talked about how the patterns have evolved around navigation with hub and navbar, the commanding with the app bar and the richness people are doing there, and the platform has supported for you with presenting data and vertical and cell spanning and drag and drop and how text editing is improving. And this is all great, but as we talked about before, just having the patterns alone isn't enough because how you apply them really matters, and that brings us to the third P, which is the principles.
Hello? Okay, great. So I'm going to talk about the principles. The UX principles represent the Windows design philosophy and our core set of beliefs. Developed by the design and research team, it's become a valuable tool used across our engineering org to ensure that everyone is building towards a product with a clear point of view that is cohesive and consistent. You can see the influence of the principles and the beautiful experiences we shipped in Windows 8 and we will ship in 8.1. There are five principles. 2 years ago at the same conference, our design director, Sam Moreau, gave a great presentation, which he also went into these in detail. You can go back and view them online, but since not everyone might have seen it, and because it's so important in our engineering process, I'm going to go over them again and show you examples of how we've applied it in our designs. The first one is pride and craftsmanship. We engineer the product to be complete, thorough, and polished at every stage. So we sweat all the details. So for example, on the design team, when we design a dialogue, we create these pixel-perfect detailed red lines of the dialogue in every conceivable form that we can think of, and then we work closely with the engineering team to make sure that it's implemented as spec'd. Clicker, come on. Okay, here we go. So here's an example of a dialogue in an early build. Can we ship this?
No,
of course not. So the design team does what we call like fit and finish passes on early builds. So we look through every piece of UI and we look for these fit and finish bugs. So some examples of bugs found is that the title and the body text aren't quite aligned. The body text uses the wrong weight of Sego UI. The text is like really wordy. A button is not centered, or the button text is not centered. So before we would sign off on this dialogue, the devs need to fix these fit and finish bugs. So this is a great example of how we really take pride in every pixel. Secondly is be fast and fluid. Be fast and fluid is making our users faster and providing connections to what comes before and after. A great example of where we applied Be Fast and Fluid is the picture password. So we found that typing on a touch keyboard to enter your password can be kind of a slow process, because not only do you not see the characters that you're typing in, but the touch keyboard's not giving you the same kind of tactile feedback that a physical keyboard gives you. So then we designed this feature for our touch users where they can design a series of gestures so that they can just log in very quickly into Windows. Authentically digital is about exemplifying the capabilities of our hardware and software. That means embracing the fact that we are pixels on a screen. We don't try to emulate faux materials in our visual language, for instance. And I know that's kind of been a hot topic in the design world lately. Semantic zoom is a great example of an authentically digital experience. Only in the digital world can I pinch to quickly zoom in and out of a view and navigate a large amount of content. So the advantage of being digital is we can be better than the physical world. Do more with less is about being great at something but not mediocre at lots of things. And here's an example of how we did more with less. Now, this is an early design for the Windows 8 store for purchasing an app. Now, this flow was kind of long. It took 5 steps. First, you had to hit the buy button. Then a dialog popped up asking you to log in. And then another dialog popped up asking you, oh, can you confirm that you really want to buy this app? And then after you confirmed, like right in the middle of that UI, there was this progress spinner control, which you had to wait for. And then finally, you had your app. So clearly, this was not doing more with less. So then we redesigned this to 2 fast and fluid steps. And you'll see I use the term fast and fluid because there's just so much crossover between all our principles. This is both fast and fluid and doing more with less. So now the user just logs in beforehand. We have that information, and when you want to buy an app, you hit the buy button, and it's just downloading in the background, and you can keep browsing the store. And finally, win as one. Winning as one means optimizing for the overall experience. When we design things as a system, it ultimately benefits our users because they only have to learn that system once. So Paul just talked at length about our UX patterns. From an interaction design standpoint, UX patterns are really important because once a user learns one pattern, they're able to apply that knowledge to use that pattern across the system. For example, once they've discovered that you can swipe from the top or bottom edge to bring up the app and nav bar and access those commands, then they can successfully do it across the system. From a visual design standpoint, we're headed for more consistency across Microsoft with our Microsoft design language. For example, if you look at the start screens of Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone, you can see they're both using a very graphic, clean approach. So we're all headed towards one Microsoft visual design philosophy. So to recap, our 5 design principles are pride in craftsmanship, be fast and fluid, authentically digital, do more with less, and win as one. I hope these principles will inspire and guide you as you design your apps. And now back to Paul to talk about our final P.
The final P. And part of winning as one is using the platform and using it the right way. And the stuff that we can do in the platform to help each of you design apps and build apps for Windows. And so, as you know, you can build apps with C# and C++ using XAML, or you can build apps with JavaScript using WinJS and HTML. And we've done a lot of work for 8.1 to beef up the set of controls on both fronts so that you have a lot of things that maybe you felt were missing before in the platforms. And if you've gone to the talks on those, you'll know about a lot of those, as well as new controls that have come online, like the hub control for both. But the point I really want to make on this slide is that no matter how you do it, at the end of the day, what combination of different things you use, as long as you're really using the Windows platform and the controls and things, they're all based on these same Windows capabilities. And so if you use the WebView control in XAML or the WebView control in HTML, it's that same WebView control, actually. You can do that same composition to achieve that composed personality maybe that you want to have. Text is rendered with dwrite in all systems, so it's that same typography that you want to have and so forth in the system. And things are, graphics and animations are composed with decomp to have that same motion and so forth in your apps. And so, you know, use the platform, take advantage of it, and you'll get a lot of these patterns like the text editing improvements and things I showed for free, and have kind of the ability to go and make the apps and use these patterns and move forward with the personality of your own apps and so forth. And now, Manita, you have the conclusion.
Yes, so in conclusion today, we talked about the four P's. So hopefully you guys can remember them. Feel free to say it along with me if you want. But personality, patterns principles and platform. So we defined what a user interface for Windows is along these four P's. So the personality is the visual and interactive design of your application. And it's important for your app to have a personality. You want to stand out from the crowd. You want people to desire your app and build a positive emotional connection with your users. Then we want to exhibit common user interface patterns because, as I said with the principles, we want to win as one. We're designing a system, so use the patterns. We've already built the patterns there, and we have all the guidance for you to use. They're grounded in a set of design principles, so the same ones that we used for Windows 8, and those are really important to get our org focused on one set of goals. And finally, built on the Windows platform, so that includes like the common controls that you can use to support the patterns, and you know the platform, we have support for XAML and WinJS. Oops. So, in conclusion, I hope that you've been inspired by this talk. I love, you know, we're really excited to see what kind of creative apps that you come up with in Windows 8.1, and go forth and build great apps. Thank you.
Thanks.